Hi, I'm Lewis Smith, and you're listening to Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs' show on TalkSport.
And an awful lot of what's been happening over in Australia for our cricketers does appear to be between the ears.
Very much so, yeah.
And with that in mind...
And plans.
But with that in mind, joining us in the studio, chartered psychologist, former Middlesex and Notts cricketer, Stephen Sylvester. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. Nice to be here.
You're perfectly placed to chat about this, having played the game, and now, as we said, a psychologist.
As well, you're a qualified FA coach and qualified cricket coach, so... You do know about all this stuff.
Indeed.
You watched the second test, and as you were doing it, there's a few things kind of sort of flagged up in your mind from a professional point of view. What were you seeing, you think, in the performance?
I think there was a lot of stress going on between the both sides. The way it was culminating, I think the back-to-back Ashes series made it much more volatile this time around. And the need to win is incredibly high for both teams. And, you know, as I say, when win at all costs comes into it, at a deep level, what you find is people just can't handle it. They end up feeling the enormity of the stress, and therefore their performances are affected.
What about a bloke, though, like Carberry, who had a sort of terrible drop, which basically cost England the match, let's be honest. And, went out and batted pretty well in the first innings after that. You have to admire him for that, in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the England players have got less skill. Don't forget, we won 3-0 at home. All of a sudden, we go to Australia and things are changing. And it's the ability to generate as much learning as possible about what's happening. And when stress hits us, it's almost like a thunderbolt. And as I say, you know, the win at all costs sort of mentality, it's a bit like smoking. It should come with a government health warning.
I mean, the Aussies are in a similar boat, though, Stephen, aren't they? They find themselves, they're under a lot of pressure. They've got a new coach there who's under a lot of pressure. I mean, they're holding their catches, they're scoring their runs, they're taking their wickets. They are at home, I suppose. I mean, the England ball is also a long way from home. I wonder if that comes into it as well.
Yeah, I think that's a massive implication. The Australians felt hurt over the summer. They were closer in the test matches than what naturally appeared on paper. And when they've got home, I think the coach, obviously Darren Lehman, taking over, he's an old school cricketer that's going to go hard in the traditional values of Australian cricket. And I think we've just been caught a little bit unawares.
Is it a sort of repetitive stress thing where, you know, for example, you keep getting out to the same, like Peterson, he keeps getting out to Siddle, he's got him out nine times. Swan comes on, he knows they're going to hit him off his leg. There is an element of that, isn't there? I suppose that must get to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Australians have done their homework. Peterson is a great, great player. And like a lot of the England players over a number of years, there's no shortage of skill and talent. But what the Australians have done is honed in to the weakest area of Peterson, which is if you bowl length and line, back of the length in the right areas, then Peterson wants to exert his power. He doesn't like not scoring. Mm. So what he's trying
to do... They play to his ego then, effectively.
Absolutely. And the ego is a problem in all this, because when we're hit with high levels of stress, our ego tells us, come on, go and battle, go and show them, go and fight with the opposition and prove you can do better. It's no different to in football when your back's against the walls, trying to do the best you can do, and all of a sudden things are not going your way. The ego says, fight, 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 do something different. And that's when you need to be able to say, look, remove your ego, operate without ego, and look at things in a different way, and actually say, like the Masters, the Messis, you don't see Messi when he's pulled down, getting up and having a fight or getting involved. He just gets immersed into his skills because he knows how good he is.
You're used to boosting players and everything, but what about the opposite side of it? What can England do to sort of destabilise Mitchell Johnson?
Well,
you know, are there techniques, are there things, clever sledging that actually has a sort of real effect?
Well, that sounds nasty,
doesn't it?
But you're quite an evil bloke, aren't you, Andy? He's mentally disintegrate this fella. He's only just put himself back together again.
Yeah, I don't care. Good.
I know from my own playing days, as a left-arm fast bowler, you know, whatever I could do to get the edge, I would use. So I would certainly sledge. But from the batsman's point of view, I was always worried when a batsman didn't say anything or just smiled at me. And I think if you look at Joe Root and the way he has actually reacted under stress, he smiled. He's listened, he's looked at him, and he's absorbed all the ag coming out of Mitchell Johnson. And I think that's what all the team needs to do. We need to actually take a softer approach, not try and take him on and hit boundaries, but actually look to see him off, almost not score a run.
There was that moment, though, when he got Anderson out and he sort of went right up to him. And I thought, oh, yeah. Lovely, he just punched him right in the face.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Yeah, that's you. That's you all over, Andy. You mentioned Root there, and a younger, less experienced test player. Do you think they can ride it? He's able to ride that maybe a little bit easier than sort of Pryor and Swan and players that know they're under an awful lot of pressure to deliver.
I think they can. We've got a great England team. Let's not forget, we've just come off the back of a good summer. We've won 3 test matches. We could have won the series 4-0. Australia were hurting. When you listened and talked to them, they couldn't accept the 4-0, let alone 3-0. And it was 3-0 in the end, obviously. So I think our players need to go back to basics, get immersed in the mastery of their skills, and look to see off Mitchell Johnson, because the difference between him and previous when he played is the fact that his levels of skills have gone up. So he's now bowling around 95 miles an hour, and his quality is beyond belief. You know, and when you look at him only the other day on the press conference, you saw the difference. You saw Matt Pryor talking about coming out and really socking it to them, and you saw Mitchell Johnson being much more, well, look, you know, if I can bowl a ball at 95 miles an hour at someone's grill, good luck to them. And he's feeling quite happy with
you
it.
You talk about the inner dialogue that goes on out in the middle or out in the field among the players when things aren't going right. So what sort of questions do you find people are asking themselves when they're out
there? Well, the first question every performer asks when things aren't going right is, bloody hell, am I good enough? You know, what's happening here?
That's a fairly fundamental thing to ask yourself when you're out in the middle, isn't it?
It's millisecond speed. It fleets into your head. And if you're not quite on it and the pressure's on, you start to question, and am I in enough control to do as well as I should do? Because history tells me I'm a good player. So someone like Peterson, history tells me he's a great player. So he's going to have his day. And we're all hoping and wishing the boys luck that we have a great day and they will do well.
Is there an element in the end that somebody needs to just say to these people, you know, look, it's just a game of cricket. In the end, it doesn't actually matter. Well, people like me might get cross.
But it doesn't actually matter.
I always feel this about sport, and people always misunderstand me when I say this. They do. Yeah. I always say this to you, and people think, you go mad about it. But in the end, I know that even if I'm upset about Chelsea, even if I'm upset they lost, in the end, it's not as important as my family being well. It's not as important as my health. It's not not that important. It's just sport. I know people will find that it's mad for me to say that, but I honestly believe
that. I totally 100% agree with you. The problem is, when you're a high performer working with world-class athletes that have built a career, earning lots of money as a business to be the best you can be, now we have reputations on the line tonight. We have seriously highly paid individuals that can't afford another slip up.
Yeah, maybe you're right in that point. But what about somebody like Finn, though? They're a really good start to his career. He looks a fine bowler. He's got everything he needs. Ideally, the whacker should really suit him. And for me, they've just messed with him. I don't know if they've messed with his mind, they've messed with his technique. Why don't they just say to him, get back to doing what you did when you first came in? Isn't that the answer to all of these?
And I totally agree. You know, Stephen Finn is an exceptionally fine bowler. He bowls blisteringly quick. Don't forget, he's the fastest English bowler to 50 Test wickets, and he's not playing. So I'd love to see him play, and love to see him just clear his mind and get back to, what is your purpose? What are you here for as a cricketer? What can you do? You've got natural attributes that can make a difference. And why shouldn't we have a bowler that bowling the same as Mitchell Johnson?
Don't worry about knocking the stumps down. I think that was the big thing with him. I think that sort of wrecked his
whole... Coached into paralysis, really, hasn't he been, unfortunately?
What about yourself when you played and you were having a bad trot or something?
Yeah.
Were you able... presumably this is how you got into this business in the first place. Yeah. Were you able to talk yourself around?
Well, I mean, this is why I'm in this business. I was fascinated with, why can I perform one day and then the next day I don't? I made my debut for Middlesex in 1991, bowling opposite Angus Fraser at Southgate. It was a second 11 game. I had my dad and my brother on the sideline. Mike Gatton was watching on the sideline. And I thought, gosh, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for all my life. You know, I'm playing with some of my heroes and I'm opening the bowling. And I just was excited. I was full of fun. fun. It was a game. I just loved it. I just wanted to bowl, and I bowled really quick, and I got 3 wickets for 38 off 12 overs. I can even remember my bowling figures.
Yeah, you were a bowler.
Yeah. And then 3 weeks later, I'm playing at Sapphire Gardens in a first-class match under Mike Gatting's regime, and I go for 98 runs, get hit all over the park, don't get a wicket. And my thinking is, well, what has gone on here? Why can you perform one day, not the next? 3 weeks apart, something must have changed. I know my technique hadn't, so actually it must be something.